Innovative Solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this Monday, June the 22nd on the West Coast, now June the 23rd on the East Coast in the Central Time Zone of the United States, as well as other points around the world, especially to the East. So nice to have so many people listening to us tonight. I know many soldiers around the world are listening through a network of stations that are broadcasting the show at various times during the day, and hopefully even live right now while we're on the air. Nice to have you folks with us in the military. Be safe. We appreciate the work you're doing, and look forward to seeing you home real soon. Lots going on. Now, I don't know if anyone has heard about this. I haven't even seen it on the internet yet. There was a train crash in the city of Washington, D.C. Now, what's interesting is several years ago, there was an attempt by some Israeli and British agents, MI6 and Mossad agents, were planning on taking out a big portion of the Eastern Railway. I understand that it was to go basically down from New Jersey all the way to Washington, D.C. They had some books, some maps and plans of the logistics. And to thwart this event, some U.S. and French agents got together and arranged to have a power failure take place in Quebec, Canada. And that took out the eastern coast of the United States, thwarting that event. Now, there were some fatalities in this event. I don't know a lot of details about it. I heard six people died, and it was one of these collisions where a train was stopped, awaiting clearance to leave a station, and another train crashed into it. I don't know if it was head-on or rear-ended or what. But what came to mind was this event that I mentioned that took place, I think it was in around May of 2006, if I remember correctly. And we didn't hear a lick about that. It was actually associated with a shootout that occurred. Now, some of this was seen on TV. There was a shootout in the Rayburn office building parking garage. Rayburn office building is where many members of the Senate have their offices. And they chased an individual in there. There were reports of a woman screaming. Well, yeah, there was an armed spy running through the building. When CNN set up on location, they began covering up what was going on. And when the Washington, I guess they're called the Capitol Police Department, when they sent out a spokesperson who happened to have been a woman sergeant, she knew nothing about what happened other than to say that there was a construction accident that occurred in the Rayburn garage. Now, what's interesting about that is there was no construction going on. And what she had heard, what people had heard, was the gunfire. And over that weekend, it was reported that no one could get their cars. All these cars were repaired by a group of automotive technicians that were flown in from another state. I believe it was New Mexico. Now, I don't know if that was true. That was what was reported at the time, not by the mainstream, but by the alternative media, especially those with some connections in the intelligence community. And over the weekend, these guys were wined and dined, but they worked all day and all night, and were told they were in Quebec, Canada, which was interesting. They had no idea where they were. They had been flown in to Washington, blindfolded, taken to the garage, and the garage was sealed up while they repaired bullet holes in a number of vehicles. The reports were that there were somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 rounds fired. That's hardly a construction accident. As I mentioned, they cornered someone, I understand, in the Rayburn office building gymnasium. That's where this one lady saw this individual running. Obviously, he knew his way around, found a place to hide. And we didn't hear a lick about this afterwards. It played on live TV. They had crime tape set up to keep people out of the area. And then it was a big cover-up. Now, what's interesting is these things happen often as warnings or they're little false flag events intended to send messages like, give us our money. There's trillions of dollars being stolen. Still, hasn't stopped. And the word is that there are members of the World Court and representatives of foreign countries that have a vested interest in getting billions of dollars that they were promised many years ago. And there are also legitimate funds that are being financed with metal currencies. They're backed by metal currencies, and these are for projects that will create jobs, repair certain things in our infrastructure, a whole host of things. And this money is being stolen. Or let's say it's attempted to steal the money. Now, you can presume it goes all the way to the top. Those are the people whose names keep coming up. And I've reported that nonstop, and as I find out more information in the coming days, I will share that with you. We have a new guest tonight on Evident Footprints. That means it's his first time here. He is a researcher, a journalist, and I like to call him a visionary, although I know that he is a student of metaphysics. And we talk about metaphysics quite often on this show with many of our guests. It so happens that if you're spiritually awake, you're not afraid of metaphysics. You're not afraid of learning things that are hidden. Doesn't mean that they're evil because they're hidden. In fact, those are some of the rumors that the religious community puts out there to keep people under their thumb, so to speak, intellectually especially. And when you have a gift, and it comes in many, many ways, it's never the same with two individuals, and the actual gifts that each one possesses work or operate in a different way. They have a lot to do with that person's experience, a lot to do with where they live, what their normal interests are, and what their role will be in what's going on right now, not just here on this planet, but throughout our galaxy. There are tremendous changes taking place, and despite all the disinformation that's out there, and despite all the corruption, and all the intention to enslave humanity, there are people that are doing good things and discerning what's going on and bringing that information forward. Tonight's guest hails from British Columbia. That's in Canada, for those of you who haven't looked at your map in a few years. And his work is featured regularly at educate-yourself.org. That's the site maintained by our frequent guest here on the show, Mr. Ken Adachi. And it's through Ken that I learned of our guest's work, and I felt that he was interesting enough a person and very knowledgeable in many areas that you would appreciate some of what he brings to the table in regard to his research and his writings. And he's my new friend, and hopefully will be on the show many times, Mr. Zurnova Star Livingstone, otherwise known as Z.S. Livingstone. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Well, the proper pronunciation is Zira Nova Star Livingstone. Of course, I'm in Canada. We would say ZSL in Canada, or
mm-hmm.
an English colony, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Give us a little bit of your background, if you would, in terms of where your basic interests are and how you sort of started writing and bringing forth some things that you're seeing.
Okay. My path has been long. I'm now 58 years old. I was born in Vancouver, British Columbia, and my second year of university at the University of British Columbia, I saw a poster for a lecture in a Nunar lecture by the Alpha and Omega Order Melchizedek, November 6th, 1971. And so I went to that and met with my teacher, who I stayed with for 16 years until he passed on. And at that time I was taking engineering. I also had a very scientific bent. I have a very good memory, and I retain a lot of information from classwork I've done and from what he taught.
Mm-hmm.
And after just a few lectures, I realized that university was a dead end compared to what the metaphysical information I was receiving from David Lightstar Livingstone.
Okay.
And the name Zira Nova Star Livingstone is a spiritual name I was given after 7 years of training. And there's quite a bit in the name. And I usually leave it up to the person who hears the name to try and discern that meaning. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a learning process. There's parts of the name which took many years for me to put together. Also, in the process of doing that, I was putting together scientific information and new energy. I was taught about new energy, I was taught spiritual geometry, taught the dimensional law.
Now, spiritual geometry, would you expound on that a little bit for the listening audience?
It's to do with the underlying structure of creation, how things are put together. It's related, most of the Alpha Omega work was related to discoveries that were made in 1921 through Walter Russell, where he realized that the underlying vortex principle from the one source in creation manifested a cube and sphere. And through the Alpha Omega teachings, Alpha, the Father, the sphere, principle,
mm-hmm.
is included within the cube of creation, the Mother. And it's a very simple way of looking at how things dovetail together. We're given understanding of how the third and fourth and fifth dimension work together into what's called trizonic energy.
Okay.
And how that forms what's called a monkey's paw at the end of the rope in the densest part of creation. And the third and fourth and fifth dimension work together as a unit to hold the structure of the greater made form of creation together. And that's why it's very important for truth and light and power to be manifested into the third dimension, and that the conditions which are on the planet right now are being dissolved and will be dissolved through what's normally called the Christ action of conscious awareness,
mm-hmm. or
the illumination of consciousness.
Okay.
So that's, in a nutshell, what the teachings...
Okay. I didn't mean to get you off track. I thought that was a rather interesting
mm-hmm.
a morsel of the information you were bringing forth.
Right.
So you were studying and learning all these new things. Please continue.
Anyways, David Livingstone received information from the higher dimensions that there was a catalytic condition coming upon the planet, and he had to put together a power group, a spiritual power group. And he interviewed thousands of people in a period between 1968 and 1970, then taught a class called Translation, which is called is straight thinking in the abstract. It's different from going into no mind meditation. It's where you're using your mind to think universal thoughts, the thoughts of oneness of creation, and put power into your thought and think the thoughts that God would think and manifest that energy into the physical body. And so in a brief period of time, about 70 of us were able to sustain unified Kundalini, crown chakra, communication in a classroom situation. And most of the people who came into the teachings at that time were young people between the ages 16 and 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Baby boomers in that time period. Taken out of what was called the Fourth Avenue scene of Vancouver, which in that time period, 68 to 70, when Haight-Ashbury was happening in San Francisco, the Haight-Ashbury of Vancouver was called Fourth Avenue. So David was pulling people off the street through a magnetic law of attraction for those who wanted to be of love and service, and breaking their connection to preconceived ideas and to the drug scene, which was being pushed onto them by the economic interests of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the whole drug scene we were taught at that time was a plot in order to break down the energy principle of young people to keep them from coming into self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. And that it has its extension in the pharmaceutical industry
yeah.
as well, right?
Right. Exactly.
So we're talking
right.
about, but we're talking about illegal drugs more than. Legal, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's the time when LSD, 90% of the LSD in the world from Sandoz Corporation of Switzerland was actually controlled by the CIA and was being shipped across the border into Canada by agents of the CIA. And so we were working to increase the love frequency and conscious awareness to overcome that drug condition. But in the background, the emergency situation of the catalytic condition was to do with the explosion of a hydrogen bomb underground in the Aleutian Chains at Amchitka Island. Most Americans have no idea what I'm talking about when they say the Amchitka blast. You have to really dig deep. This is during the Vietnam War, and the information was totally hidden from the public that a 5-megaton MX-type hydrogen bomb, MX missile system hydrogen bomb, which could not be tested in Las Vegas, was going to be exploded in Alaska, right on the Ring of Fire.
Right now, on the. Was this exploded in the air or in the ground?
1 mile underground, right above one of the major subduction fault lines of the Aleutian Chain. Amchitka is about midway between Anchorage and Tokyo. And at that time, plate theory or tectonic theory was just coming into acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
There had been, of course, Professor Wegener explained the theory in 1915. But most of the old guard geophysicists and had dismissed it as just too, they couldn't accept it. But from the International Geophysical Year of 1957 on, when they discovered the Mid-Atlantic ridge, and they found out through seismic readings that the earthquakes were on most of the major earthquakes in the world in the Ring of Fire were on subduction zones. That they had the younger, the new Turks of geophysicists put together a whole series of papers and presented a 2 or 3 day conference in Washington, D.C. in 1967, which totally blew away the old guard and brought in plate tectonics.
Okay, now, would you explain the reason for this explosion occurring for the listening audience?
This explosion was to test the hydrogen bomb, which would be used in the multiple reentry MIRV system. The MX system was a series of rockets mounted on rail cars that would have been moved around the states. Not sure, due to secrecy, if the system ever was really implemented. Most people believe that the rockets were put in silos underground or in submarines. But behind that was an attempt to create a catastrophe which could possibly sink California. That was the actual plan from those diabolical intelligence, Machiavellian type of people who were involved in that sort of thinking.
And then they found Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they didn't have to resort to that.
Yeah.
But, go ahead.
Yeah. Going into some pretty heavy stuff here. They had tried to, of course, they had tried exploding bombs. They had above ground bombs, like the Bikini Atoll explosion in 1954, was on a tower on one end of this circular arc island of the Bikini Atoll.
Mm-hmm.
And Edward Teller put the bomb together, and he put the tritium and the deuterium in around the uranium core. And he was guessing it would be about 8 megaton bomb, equivalent to 8 million tons of TNT. And they had a bunker with a cameraman on the opposite side of the atoll, about 5 to 10 miles away, and they put a ring of three rings of ships around, derelict Navy ships around the atoll, and they detonated it, but it got away from them. The yield was almost double, 14 million tons of TNT equivalent. And
holy cow, that is astronomical.
Yeah, that is
that's in the billions of pounds.
That's in the billions. Yes, yes it is, equivalent to TNT. And of course it knocked over the bunker 10 miles away. The cameramen were sprawled out onto the beach. There was a big hunk of concrete that got blown over, and the first two rings of U.S. Navy ships got blown over sideways because they were sideways to the explosion.
Mm-hmm. The concussive force, you're saying, or
right.
Well, I mean, in nuclear fission, it's there's a term for that, but
right.
It's like a shock wave. Basically,
right.
what occurs.
So, detonating these things is very, very. They don't know what the yield's going to be until it happens. It's occult.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, probably the most advanced people in nuclear physics are probably casting astrological charts in order to figure out what the yield will be for that. For any particular bomb on any particular day.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happens in large nuclear vessels or for generating electricity or large, like the Palo Verde, one of the largest nuclear reactors in the world outside Phoenix. They have to calculate the moon's, take the moon into consideration when they're trying to figure out where to pull the control rods to, because they, Sometimes the lime of the moon and the sun will actually keep the nuclear reaction suppressed. And if they pull the rods out too much, they'll get a surge at a certain point when the effect is over. And there can be possible meltdowns or other problems and deterioration of the containment structures of, in the vessels, nuclear vessels, mainly made of steel and concrete. So we were taught this, explained this to by David Livingstone. He had seen it through his action of conscious awareness and through through going, what he called going into consciousness, which is actually traveling out of the body, but into the fifth dimensional realm.
Mm-hmm. Into the astral, in other words.
No, beyond the astral.
Okay.
The astral is usually is pretty messy. It's
that's true. I've seen it.
Yeah, it's the Ouija boards and the trance channelers and the misinformation from the of entities in the lower astral. In order to get true information, you have to move into the high astral or higher etheric of the fourth dimension,
yeah,
or into the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Or the perfected action of conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, if I could ask it. Were you aware, or did you learn, or did David Livingstone talk about the phenomenon that occurs when there is a nuclear weapon detonated, in terms of the time-space continuum? You know, it's usually described in metaphysics as a tearing of the fabric of time and space. Did he expound on that at all?
It's exactly his words.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a rent in the transonic field in time and space, and it takes a long time to mend. The energy coming from a nuclear weapon is the tearing down of the dimensional structure of the fourth and fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tearing a bigger hole in the fourth dimension than it's actually tearing in the third dimension.
Yeah. Now, my perception tells me that that entities from other realms come in, and they're usually of a negative source.
Yeah. There's parasitic entities, or they've reversed their consciousness to source, and therefore, since they're not living by the word of God or the bread from above, the
mm-hmm.
bread and water from above, through conscious awareness, they have to feed on those who are connected to the source. Therefore, they parasite on those, on children and women, and people who have energy coming into their conscious into their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So the physical bodies of people on the planet become the cows to which the entities milk for their sustenance.
Yeah. Now, for those out there that, you know, are experiencing strange things, or for those that are maybe not having, you know, metaphysical manifestations occur, but they're experiencing long stretches of bad luck or long stretches of illness, or maybe even like a psychosis of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're at least picking up what I'm leading to.
Yes.
These entities come in, and so they look for hosts, and
right.
and often it's when someone's not aligned with the God force of creation that they become susceptible. Right. It's like having a depressed immune system. And,
exactly,
and
right.
And there's a virus going around, or some communicable disease, and just through the power of suggestion, that person could take on that disease, just because
yes.
all everything is set up. You're agreeing with me, so can you expound on that a little bit?
Any in the drug situation, the drugs will cause a break in the higher, usually at about the fourth step of the fourth dimension, in the conscious awareness of the person. And so most drugs, recreational drugs in the counterculture, are designed that way in order to create that disconnection.
Yeah.
And therefore they're subjected to any of the lower forces.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the pharmaceutical drugs or the hypnotics will do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And will disconnect. Hypnotism is black magic because that's where you're allowing somebody else to create a in where they're projecting their conscious awareness through the from their head in the etheric into your, either your eyes or ears in order to force a disconnection of the crown chakra or the air, life flow and implanting suggestions. At the same time as they're planting physical suggestions, the astral entities are planting their suggestions, which would continue you along the path of being disconnected from source.
Boy, wouldn't you like to see the entities that come through during a TV show or TV program?
Yeah. Well, of course, TVs are hypnotic, and they're just like Seinfeld said, show about nothing. And it was basically about nothing, and it was just putting you in a hypnotic state in order to be susceptible to what the commercial breaks were mm-hmm. wanting you to buy.
Or the subliminal messages in the scripts and you know, the sort of acceptance of aberrant behavior. You know, it's condoned. People
yes.
laugh about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's made light of, and because of that, people don't take it seriously. And yet, it's affecting them on a subconscious level, right?
Right. Yes. And
so now so we're talking about these entities that come in and sort of, you know, make a home somewhere in the. I know that this happens, let's say, through one's ethereal body. In other words,
mm-hmm.
When the physical immune system is weak, or when it's under a compulsive disorder, or what's called an obsessive compulsive disorder, that begins an addiction. Okay,
yes.
And so television can be an addiction just like a drug can. Can
it? Yes, it can.
And that's when yeah. these entities come.
Well, they're in the background coaxing the person along into the cycle, and just like a cow that's been sent out to the field to eat grass, the person's sent out to the field and they're in kind of a normal state, and they're reconnecting up to they're eating and being healthy and out in the sunshine, and they're connecting back to the source, but not to the point where they get strong enough to block off the entity parasitic action.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're brought back to the barn and milked. And like cows, people get into habits that when the udder is full, they're walking back to the barn to be milked. And people will get into feeling like a bipolar. They feel normal, or they go up and down. While they're up, they're feeling good. They go back to a behavior pattern, which allows the parasitic energy to come in, and they collapse and go into the depressive cycle. They're sucked dry of the energy, and in the depressive cycle, they're just wrung to dry.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're put onto the milk machine and having all the energy pulled out of them.
Mm-hmm. Of course, and you're speaking metaphorically here now.
Metaphorically, yeah.
So people don't think that you really mean that people are being milked.
Well, energetically they are.
Yeah, energetically, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I call those psychic vampires.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're like vampires. They're taking the life force out of a person. In the physical realm, that would be the blood, but in the metaphysical realm, the spiritual realms, we're talking about one's prana or one's life force.
Exactly.
Okay. Now did Livingstone, we're speaking about David Starr Livingstone, did he talk about overcoming all of these things?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you, I don't want to pull you off target, but this is such an interesting topic. It's been a while since we've had such a conversation on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did he talk about the methods, and would you care to share any of those or some of the things that, you know, he stressed?
The main thing he stressed was to, get to a clean environment, just the normal things about eating healthy. If you want to be vegetarian, be vegetarian. But this time, the time period in 1971, he didn't push that because the food was it was better to eat a little bit of meat. And he smoked cigarettes, and that probably led to his heart attacks. But he said he was able to overcome most of the negative effects that way, and of the tobacco, and eventually did give it up. But the main thing is straight thinking, thinking God's thoughts. He did not recommend going into mindless meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And the technique he taught, called translation, which he later called trisonic transology, was actually put together by a man who worked for the OSS during World War II. And his name was Thane Walker. And Thane Walker, during before World War II and during World War II, was fighting the black magicians of Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of similar to the storylines behind Steven Spielberg's Indiana Jones series.
Uh-huh.
Where the Nazis were interested in the Ark of the Covenant and the sword of was in a museum in Vienna. I can't remember that sword's name right now. The sword that was supposed to have lanced Jesus on the cross, and wanted that sword because it was the legend of invincibility. Then you also had black magicians from Tibet, the black cap or red capped Bon magicians, B-O-N magicians of Tibet.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And some Bon magicians were found in Berlin in 1945 after the Russians took over the city. They were dead. And so there's also the people who cultured Hitler to be the Chancellor of Germany. Of course, you've been talking about it in the bushes and all that.
Uh-huh.
Were black magicians.
Yeah.
The Ultima Thule and other groups around it, controlled through the bankers and through the City of London and through the Rothschilds.
Uh-huh.
And so the bushes and a series of other families were brought together by black magician groups. But what Thane Walker did was he was captured by the Gestapo and imprisoned. But while imprisoned, he was able to put together, through straight thinking in the abstract, and to come into God conscious realization and teleport out of prison, and he ended up on the Isle of Rhodes in the Aegean, according to one story. But the facts have been withheld on what particularly happened. He wrote about it afterwards, after the war, and he started teaching his technique, which is using the five rules of logic, logical argument, major premise, minor premise, arguments, result, conclusion, and applying it to prayer. And the major premise was that I am I, one beingness, one with the Supreme Creator, at all times, all places, all spaces. And the minor premise is what the physical senses claim about what we're what's actually happening around us. And the physical senses say that we're separate beings, but spirit, the spiritual truth is that we're just one being, and we're just all multiple expressions of that one being. So using straight thinking and going through the five steps, he was able to actually open up pathways through the Kundalini and through the thought patterns, opening up the vortex of power from source through the higher action, the atom of the soul, and able to increase his energy action many, many fold, maybe up to 1,000 times what a normal life stream energy forces were, and therefore he was able to change the position of his physical body in time as well as space.
Now, did anyone go looking for him after his escape?
Well, the OSS was, later CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably didn't believe him. And he ended up in California in 1956, started a group called Prosperos, and he actually has a patent or a copyright on translation through the Prosperos. And to that group, which probably is thousands of members in the Los Angeles area, he would be, he's a mythical character to them because he kind of disappeared from there too. And whenever a teacher who has power comes into being, then you start getting the negative crap. you start getting the problems coming in, and the black magicians started surrounding him and trying to suck his energy off, so he had to get away from them. He ended up in Hawaii, and they don't know if he's dead or alive. If he's still alive, he'd be well over 100.
But, so he would have been around if Barack Obama was born in Hawaii. He would have been around. He'd know, right?
he would be in Hawaii in the early 60s or through the 60s and 70s.
It'd be interesting for him to tell us his take on that.
Yeah.
I just thought I would, would bring that up, you know.
Of course, when a person comes into that sort of awareness, he doesn't talk about all that he's seeing, because most people are not ready for it.
Yeah.
But we are actually coming to a time period where all these secrets are being revealed. Hence, educateyourself.org and quite a few, the internet itself,
mm-hmm.
and people like you talking about these things. I actually couldn't talk about these things for over 25 years. I couldn't even get to the first part of this. I actually do not have permission to write David Livingstone's biography yet. The only mention of David Livingstone is in Drumvello Melchizedek's Flower of Life books. Do you know Drumvello?
Yes, I've been to a property he designed.
Okay.
I know him in a very strange way. Yes, I know who he is.
Well, the 70 of us were doing the work, the prayer work and the energy work in class and through the use of translation in order to set up cubes and spheres around the Ring of Fire to stabilize the energy and to prevent the loss of California and prevent the loss of Japan. Japan would have gone down too, as well as huge destruction in Alaska. And he popped up with a piece of paper in his hand at the mailbox for the Alpha Mega Order Melchizedek downtown Vancouver in the spring of 1971, claiming to be a walk-in. His name is Bernie Perona, and I had a few conversations with him, and he was a bit disoriented. He did not know where he was, what he was doing. He didn't know where he had been beforehand. He was very disruptive of the energy action of the 70 people in the group action. In fact, David told us not to have him around when David was not there. And on two occasions, he did come into our group meetings when David was not there, and the energy collapsed. And when you're talking about energy, Kundalini energy magnified through group conscious awareness, you're talking hundreds of times normal pranic flows. And somebody collapsing that allows a lot of astral entities to come in. And so it was... it wasn't a good thing when Drumvella showed up, or walking from the 13th dimension.
Yeah, what was that eventually resolved? That issue.
Yeah, well, he was around for about a month, and he received some training, but then he was given a bus ticket to the Slocan Valley, about 4 or 5 hours out of Vancouver, not too far from where I am right now in BC, central BC. And told to chill out, and he stayed there for quite a while, and also eventually returned to the States and made contacts with his old buddies in the CIA, and still is in contact with them.
Uh-huh.
It's very likely he's a multiple personality.
Did they actually send him in? I mean, that,
yes, he did.
In order
to disrupt.
Yeah.
Talking to Ken about Ken Adachi about the same subject, he had information that before he became Drumvella or switched into that alter personality, he had been on the campus at Berkeley, California, as an anti-war protester against the Vietnam War, but actually he was a plant on that too. In order to find out who the leaders were of the anti-war effort and to neutralize them. But since he is a gifted soul, in order to do the work he's done for the last 30 years, he was given a role as to be the gatekeeper of all things spiritual for them. And right now he's claiming to be a gatekeeper on all the Mayan information.
Oh, really?
The go-to person in order to get information about the Mayan calendar. So that's just another run on a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Of course, there's tens of thousands of people around the world who absolutely hate what I'm talking about right now.
Well, that's but you're on evident footprints. That's to be expected. So, you know, what's interesting is these things occur, and I'm talking about the sabotaging of one's group, the infiltration of work, and I'm not saying necessarily that that's what he was doing, but certainly if all the energy was drained. All of this positive energy that was being built up through love and with positive intention, aligning. I mean, Kundalini is nothing to laugh at.
No, you wake up the wrong way. You can you burn through the etheric webs and cause serious damage to your physical body and the etheric body.
Yeah, but so, what I was going to say though is that it alludes to the amount of fear that they have, you see. And so, the secrecy and we have to have this person because this person is so powerful. And you're just talking about dark forces, the way they're used.
Yes.
Definitely, it's black magic and it's actually the opposite of godliness.
Absolutely. It's rebellion against godliness.
Yes,
and it is actually quite powerless. They claim to have the minions of the legions of darkness claim to have the numbers and the power, but they're actually like tearing through tissue paper for anybody who's got real energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still alive, even though there have been death threats against me over the years. Actually, one person who attacked me dropped dead in front of me. This is many years ago.
Mm.
But I've asked that for protection in order that I can continue my work.
Yeah. Well, all of us do.
Yeah.
And you know, we have the ability within ourselves to protect ourselves, too.
Yes.
You know, once we arrive at that vibration, you know, where that those higher energies flow through us.
Yes.
And it's a
huge responsibility. Huge responsibility.
Yes.
To sum up, on the Amchika blast did happen in November of 1971.
Mm-hmm.
Greenpeace had been formed at that time in Vancouver, British Columbia, as a protest action against Amchika. Their first mission for the Rainbow Warrior ship, which they, an old fishing boat, was to send it to Amchika to physically land in Zodiacs on the shore to stop the countdown to the explosion. But the U.S. Navy did intercept them in the bomb, and they were carried away to unknown parts for a period of a few days. The bomb did go off. And according to reports of people who went there afterwards, all the birds on the island died with the shockwave from the explosion underground. It registered 7.8 to 7.9 on the Richter scale, and is probably over 5 million tons of TNT. It carved out vaporized a sphere of rock about a mile across, or nearly a mile across underground. And because it was very little left on ground above, it collapsed down and formed a nearly circular lake, which is now called Lake Amchika. And, of course, they don't allow people there because of the radioactivity, mm-hmm. even to this day.
What does your intuition tell you about that event and the karmic debt those folks that participated in that have taken upon themselves?
The planners of those who actually did plan it had their soul atom yanked. I mean, the higher powers, the pay scale higher than mine, had the authority to actually disintegrate the ego expression of those planners. And they died, and their soul died. And they retrieved the active or the living atom of the soul prince, returned that to Creator to be remanifested as a new creation later on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were disintegrated.
Now, do you see any different outcome for those that may not be exploding bombs of that nature, of that size, but are doing similar acts?
Yes. Well,
you know, let's take like the war in Iraq or Afghanistan, for example, the atrocities that are going on there.
Those who consciously decided to go in there and perpetrate the crimes against humanity, of course, again, the decision on who will live and who will not is on a very, very high level. But their atoms are being pulled.
Hmm.
And how it's going to play out, there's a time period when that happens, and I'm not in control of that. I just know that those who claim that they own the world, there's a biblical quote, what profit of a soul to gain the whole world but lose their soul?
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost. There's less than 0.5% chance that their plans will manifest in what they want. Total control of the planet.
Yeah.
It just won't happen.
I described to someone today what I see. It's though they're hanging at the edge of a cliff, and they're grasping at straws that are just lying, on the dead grass.
Yes.
And they're trying to hold themselves up.
They're just fading away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're desperate, and they know it. And they're continuing on. They're trying to perpetrate all sorts of calamities, but there's been intercession after intercession after intercession.
Yes. On many levels, too. Just on the physical level, right?
For me, witnessing the energy action of a power group of basically 70 young people with one teacher, we did not have a clue what we're doing. We had no clue. We couldn't even spell the word Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we were guided through this, and in a sense of just being of love and service to the planet, to clean up the conditions on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and our own karmic load, whatever it may be, participate in group conscious awareness in order to prevent the loss of California. And of course the psychics at that time were predicting California was going down, going down, going down, going down. It didn't go down.
Yeah.
So, and there's all sorts of predictions about Japan being busted up. And that was totally, there's intercession, intercession, intercession. And basically the whole Pacific base of the whole planet is basically the same shape, even though it's been battered out by all sorts of things, and currently they are exploding A-bombs underground up to 30 a month, trying to shake things up, and that is, again, is a desperate act of a losing cause.
Mm-hmm.
And there's intercessions happening through magnetic vortexes around the planet, creating torsion fields that's holding the crust from moving. And the amount of energy that is coming in from the higher dimensions through the Christ principle into these torsion fields and vortexes is millions of times more powerful than all the bombs on the planet put together exploded at once. They've lost. They're just so stupid that they don't know it.
Yeah, and desperate.
Desperate.
You know, what you're saying brings up a question, okay? We have these two poles, let's say, of consciousness. You have this dark side that we so often talk about on the show, and you have those that are in light or in love at the opposite end of the spectrum. You have a lot of people, you know, all these people that you described as being hypnotized, whether it's through drugs or television or education, the various technologies that they're using, such as HARP, for example, to control the masses by bombarding us with certain frequencies at certain times of day or night that are unharmonious with our makeup on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. What about those people that are in a state of denial or actually being obstinate? In other words, their programming has basically dictates how they respond when they hear something like what we're talking about, or when we talk about a conspiracy to do this or that. You know, those people that get the glazed over look in their eyes. Where do you see those people going?
Well, those people have consciously made a decision, or unconsciously made a decision, through, on the soul level, to be in that state of conscious awareness. Most people, when they volunteer to come into incarnation, want to be of love and service and want to be awakened.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the conditions of the planet, they often don't get to the point of being awakened, and they bemoan that in the sojourn between lifetimes, and they have to come up with another plan to be able to face the challenges and the understandings that they want to bring into manifestation through the physical incarnation, because the physical incarnation is where the work is done. As I was saying earlier, the physical dimension is a key into the third, fourth, and fifth dimensional trizonic field, which is the underpinning action of creation. And the densest part of creation. And so you need to be in the physical body doing the energy work through the physical body, bringing in the energy in order to overcome the problems, to come into the awareness.
Yeah. So those people, well, I would presume that everyone agreed to play a certain role or you know, perform certain tasks.
Yes. Okay? Some people have taken the negative role.
Yeah.
Agreed for that.
Some are totally doing the opposite of what they intended to do when they came here, and maybe not of their own volition in many cases. You know,
right?
They've succumbed to all of these perverted methods of controlling people.
Right.
You know, the mind control.
Yes.
And you know, one thing that comes up. I don't mean to be all over the place, but you had mentioned the bond and. There's actually a religious and an ethnic progression of the Bon through history. Now, Hitler sort of took the short route, but the Bon became the Mon in Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
The son of Genghis Khan, Thule, became the foundation of their Thule Society in Nazi Germany.
Oh, wow.
And they had the Vril Society, which was the esoteric metaphysics, and the real society was where they hid the knowledge and the research being done on their saucer craft that they had developed.
Right.
Numerous numbers of models. But the Mon, later, after having been thrown out of Mongolia, became known as the Khazars, and they went to Turkey and wandered through the Middle East, eventually ending up in what we now know as Israel today, and portrayed themselves to be, you know, this lost group of the House of Judah, so to speak.
Okay.
And then when they came to America, and I found this out not too long ago, actually from one of my listeners and also a regular visitor to my website, had read some of my research on the Bush Clan and described seeing a submarine base on Montauk. Now, this is Long Island, the eastern end of Long Island, northeast
right.
end. And, mm-hmm. and at night, she said, the submarines would come up. It looked like a forest. There were so many periscopes and the array of antennas and all the communications devices that would be above the surface of the water. She said it looked just like a forest as far as you can see.
Wow.
And that ended up being the place where all of these mind control experiments through MK Ultra were approached. Now, what happens in a case like that? And by the way, that has a connection to Egypt through the Montauk Indians. The family name was Pharaoh.
Mm, wow. There was pictures actually of Montauk of a whole series of pyramids along the beach, going back about 200 years, or actually drawings. And a lot of those pyramids were Egyptian design and cutting. And the stones were stolen by the churches of New York and are probably in the cathedrals of New York City.
Hmm. Now, so there's that connection there. You see, it came full swing to the United States originally from Tibet as the bond. But you're right. You're very correct. When Hitler had a group of those monks, the bond monks, advising him.
Right.
On metaphysical issues, and the Nazis were very much, especially the SS, operated under the cloak of metaphysics, but they used the black magic, the evil side of it.
So yeah.
We want to make that clarification for the listeners out there.
Right.
And when you're speaking of anything like Kundalini, or I mentioned prana, when we use some of the Eastern terms, this is not evil that we're speaking about. These people, had a religion themselves, and they understood many, many truths about the soul and about the body and the mind over thousands of years, even before Christ came. So these are long-standing disciplines, we'll say. And they can be misused and often are, but in this case, we're not talking about tapping into people's subconscious or conscious paranoias about, well, this conflicts with my religious beliefs, or the truth is the truth, and they are methods of cutting right to the chase.
Right. Even the name Christ predates Jesus' life,
yes,
by over 1,000 years.
Yeah, and it's a consciousness. It's a group consciousness, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I've experienced group consciousness with 70 people during that time period. And for a brief time period before we were attacked so severely that we had to separate and go our separate directions. Well, people were parasitically attacked by black magicians over the next few years. It was like nails being driven into our skull, and all sorts of different actions were attacked. We were the highest action of conscious awareness on the planet, and we were a direct threat to all the black magic covens around the planet.
Hmm.
And they knew it.
Now, did the group do any work on helping some of the people that are being attacked in the ethereal realm, or usually it's through technology, but they use psychics and remote viewers and they're using systems that produce particular results, but they're grounded in the black arts, I feel.
Yes. Very... You're right. Well, we would often, as a group, sit down and the method of doing translation was to write them out, to write out the prayers, to write out the points. And we would do long translations through the night on many of the same subjects, protecting people of the light from the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very intense energy actions, especially when you've gone 8 hours through the wee hours of the morning, and then suddenly the sun's creeping up in the dawn, and you're just totally buzzing, and you take a look at the sun, and you get this metaphysical, or the energy zap of the sun just burning right straight through your conscious awareness, which many of the shamanic people will describe the rising sun energy action.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that. We did that many, many times. So
now, I think my question was something along the lines of, did you work to interfere with some of these, some of these technologies that are being used to?
Well, I did do some work on what was called aqua-unispheres under direct instructions. It's a bit complex to go into. It's an energy grounding device.
Mm-hmm.
It actually works similar to Slim Sperling Harmonizer. I had four acro-unispheres built, one for Vancouver, one for Spokane, Washington, and one for Denver, and one for Calgary, Alberta. Very interesting Slim Sperling in Denver in the 1990s, working with spiral coils and rings, built something called a harmonizer. And his largest harmonizers ended up in Vancouver, Spokane, Denver, and Calgary. So my work predated Slim Sperling's work by about 30 years.
Mm.
And that was directly guided by David Livingstone. And the harmonizers were working against the harp and weather weather control.
Or modulation, yeah.
Modulation, yeah.
Yeah.
Working with the elemental kingdoms, working with the Mother Earth principle, the Gaia principle, working with the Christ action in order to stabilize Mother Earth, and with the natural kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing what Slim was doing, I actually went down to see him in Denver, but was blocked. My wife was attacked with some sort of ultrasonic heat energy gun while we're in a Safeway in Firestone in 2005. And then a few months later, I was able to finally meet up with him in Issaquah, Washington, near Seattle, and had a very, very detailed talk with him. And I was very concerned about his connection to John Velo Melchizedek, told him about my concerns about that, and he said he was concerned. And then I started going into some of my understanding of metaphysics and technology, and he saw that I knew too much. Where did you learn all this? Are you going to steal my inventions? No, you're just duplicating what I did 30 years ago. But he wouldn't have, I didn't say that to him. He wouldn't have accepted it. Unfortunately, he was already turning jaundice from he was very unhealthy. He died of liver cancer about 18 months later.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, you're describing a phenomenon that occurs. I've had that occur to me, and I'm sure there's many out there mm-hmm. in the listening audience. Sometimes they're referred to as parallel timelines or time loops,
right.
Where you achieve a certain level of consciousness, you create something, and then you move on and you focus your attention in other areas, and then someone else comes along that same path. Maybe
right.
not necessarily behind you. You know, they're operating in their
real
own
parallel.
Yeah, in their own space. And well, you know, two things don't exist in the same space in the same time. In exactly the same space, obviously, but things can, in a multi-dimensional world, they can permeate each other. They can move in and out of each other.
Right.
And so, if we were to address the vortex theory, the vortex is spinning in a circle, isn't it?
Even though it is.
It's not staying on one plane, it's moving interdimensionally. And so all of that energy in a particular time period could move up to the same place. And that individual could then be ready to tap into the very same information you came up with 30 years prior.
Right.
But what's interesting is the role that the ego plays in accepting or in addressing that. It's different manifestations. The way it seeks self-preservation. So for you to have experienced that 30 years prior and then run into somebody who's accusing you of stealing their idea, what is your perception of that?
Cosmic humor.
Yeah. Your laugh gave you away.
Yeah. You have a chuckle inside you. You say, okay, he's reaching this point in his spiritual progression, and it's just magical and funny. And I was even though he was very, very concerned about my taking his patents away, mm-hmm. he showed at me, they're boilerplate, you can't take them from me. And he had all the, or he was working on making boilerplate.
Yeah.
Or, but anyways, when you go right into cosmic consciousness and you see the oneness of all creation, you see that there is only one life, and it's just another realization of truth
mm-hmm.
through on a parallel path of that one life. So I could see myself in his shoes going through the same a process that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah, Zero-No, we're about out of time, but I want to give you the opportunity to sort of make a closing statement and ask you to come back again and continue this and some other conversations. I want to get into dive into some of your written pieces, which
okay.
are basically accounts of things that you've seen, you know, visions and they're not necessarily like some of the visions that you hear from the, let's say, the prophetic realm, those that are espousing prophecy. You're basically seeing these things, and I understand that. I see a synchronicity there in a lot of your work.
Okay.
And I reading much of what you write is it reminds me of many of the things that I'm interested in and things that I know or at least resonate. Yes, this is very plausible.
Okay.
So I want to give you an opportunity to encourage people what they could be doing on their own level, wherever they are, to sort of come to grips with what's really going on here, despite all the disinformation.
What they can do is, of course, be true to themselves, work on, connect up to their own source. Of course, also in connecting up to their own source is actual work. And you have to be patient in doing the work. It can be painful because you are clearing out toxic blocks in the head, in the thought pattern. You're clearing out astral psychic entities throughout your conscious awareness, your physical body. You're clearing out toxins and the poisons that have come into your body through the food and the water. And so if you have a healing crisis when you're doing energy work, you have to look at it as a clearing. If you have a crisis, it's an opportunity. A health crisis is an opportunity to come into greater spiritual oneness with your own inner self. And so a lot of people around the world are feeling the energy of the conflict between the dark and the light. The light always has the power. The dark does not have the power. The evil, which thinks it controls the world, is like tissue paper compared to the power of the soul fully manifested in the physical body. You have to think. You have to think and think and think straight. Don't go into a hypnotic state. Do not use drugs. Do not sit mindlessly in front of the TV for countless hours using it as a pacifier. Get out, do physical work in order to help clear the body. Use prayer. Use internally guided meditation in order to work through use the physical brain, because it is a tool of thought, and it will make the connection to the higher self when you think the right thoughts. going to a meditative no space, or which is taught by Eastern metaphysics, is a dead end. And one of the things that Drumvello has got it right is that you have to develop your Merkaba in order to develop your conscious awareness. His technique is very shoddy. Establishing the Merkaba body is a long process, and you can't get through it through a rote sort of technique or left brain technique.
Yeah, or shortcuts.
Shortcuts. There are people who are very, very advanced souls coming in. They call them crystal children, and of course, the pharmaceutical companies are trying to shut them down with Ritalin and all sorts of other immunizations with poisons in the immunizations. But they are working their way through that, and they will achieve their conscious awareness. I can talk now as I am now because the ascension has already started. It is 30% complete. And it's going to go to completion regardless of any of the disasters, the attempted disasters that those who think they own the world are trying to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
The ascension is a private action between yourself and God. So it can happen to a child. It can transcend this dimension because the soul is very old and very, very wise. Or it can be an older couple who just suddenly disappear. So the ascension is the flowering of the Mother Earth. It is the renewal of Mother Earth. The ascension is absolutely necessary for the regeneration of the natural kingdoms and the cleaning up the planet and cleaning up the toxic life thought action and cleaning up of the lower astral states.
Mm-hmm.
By having people take responsibility for their spiritual self, right thinking, right purpose, right words, right actions, they're on the path. And it's a long path, and it's absolutely the only path.
Any idea, in a closing question, any idea where the universal landfill is for those that aren't going to make the ascension?
Well, this is, of course, another part of the Melchizedek teachings, is that we are having a cosmic convention on the planet. Souls have come into the planet from 3,700 other planets. Normally, the planet would only have maybe 50 to 100 million people.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, and there was a lot of planets that were caught in what was called the Luciferian Rebellion, and reversed their consciousness to source. Mm-hmm. And so souls were given the opportunity to come to Earth in order to experience an uplift,
mm-hmm.
the resurrection of consciousness.
Yeah, we're given the choice between the two options, right?
And, of course, the Illuminati, they've been trying to cut down the population of the planet for over 200 years through continual war and poisonings and plagues and all sorts of things, but the population keeps on rising because the spiritual plan supersedes any of their plans. And that it's important that the population of the planet be 7 billion at this time in order or 8 billion or 9 billion, whatever it's going to get to over the next few years, so that those souls will have an opportunity to feel the uplift and feel the translation, transmutation, and transformation of conscious awareness, so that when they return to their home planet, all 3,700 of them, or go on to other planets, they will have overcome a lot of the problems that were created by the reversal of consciousness, the self-willed regression.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I don't know if you have a list of those 3,700 planets.
No, I don't.
I hear that this show's heard on 2,000. of those. Okay. So I'd like to try to recruit some more listeners out there on the 1,700 other planets.
Okay.
But anyway, you know I'm just joking. So.
Yes.
It's been very interesting. I'd like to have you back. Would you come back again soon?
I will.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that, and I want to encourage folks to read up on your many writings, and I know they're still coming out. Your stuff is featured at educate-yourself.org. And if you, anyone out there in the listening audience, goes to that site, looks at the top of any of the pages, you'll see a menu, and you look for Z.S. Livingstone. Click on that, and a whole index page will open up with all of Supernova Star's articles. So I want to thank you for being on the show. Wish you the best in your endeavors. Let's keep in touch, and I'll have you on in early July. How's that?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show. Look forward to your next interview. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Supernova Star Livingstone. He will be back again in a couple of weeks, if not sooner. Maybe inside of a week. We'll see. In the meantime, I would like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish...